All right, our last show, 2024, boys. Nick Kypreos, Justin Bourne, Sammy McKee, Andrew Adams, Double A, Jen Rolnick, JR.
Yeah. Just waiting to double check this all with Sam. Sam, is this all correct?
I don't know.
Wherever you are watching, listening, Sportsnet 590, The Fan, Sportsnet 360, Sportsnet Plus. Just the three of us. Security guard came by just before we came in, threw me the keys and said, lock up when you're done. I think we're the only ones in the building.
I think you're right.
There was a broom being pushed by a couple. I haven't seen a whole lot. You know, there's a few dust bunnies flying through here.
I got to say, if you're listening today, thank you very much. You are in the Spotify Wrapped. You are in the 0.1% of our listeners.
Where is everybody else?
Doing stuff. It's the holidays. No one's working.
I bet you if you're in your car right now and you're driving around and you heard the Kipper and Bourne theme song, you're like, they're working today?
So we'll be off tomorrow. Yes. A busy day in the National Hockey League tomorrow night.
Leafs at 1.
We've got 1 o'clock. Sportsnet Ontario will be back on the desk.
Kipper and I are on it.
David Amber, Elliot Friedman. So that'll be fun.
Yeah.
But there's plenty to talk about. I mean, it's not there like is. We're coming in here and twiddling our thumbs for the next 2 hours.
No, there's legitimate content to be, you know, made here. But
Yeah. So feel free to go, boys. I'll just sit back and relax. And
what do you want to talk about?
How was everyone's holiday?
Enjoy my eggnog under the desk.
How was everyone's holiday?
It was phenomenal.
Yeah.
A lot of nice time spent with family. Then I came back to Toronto. I just went really fast.
Yeah. You get a fresh Leaf jersey?
No, nothing.
No.
I don't really get gifts anymore, which I'm totally fine with. Here and there, got a gift. My brother-in-law got me an awesome President's Cup Peter Millar golf shirt.
Sick.
So that's really nice. Got a sweet Tragically Hip table book.
Nice. And
for my mother-in-law, and that's pretty much it.
Lovely. Yeah. You, Kipper?
I got boots.
Boots. They're nice boots. I'm at an age now where I'm like, those are great boots. I want those boots.
Oh,
that's
and
a good boot.
I'm at the age, I got a blender from my sister-in-law, and I was thrilled.
Yeah.
Like, if I had got a blender in my mid-20s, I would have thrown it in the trash. Now I'm like, oh my God, yes.
This is going to change my life.
A cocktail blender.
No, I don't eat breakfast, so I have a lot of shakes in the morning.
A little smoothie action?
Yeah, I'm a big smoothie guy.
Nice.
Yeah.
So where do we start with the Toronto Maple Leafs? Because, like I said, there's some news and notes going around that hockey club, including Austin Matthews back on the ice. But overall, the Toronto Maple Leafs played their league-leading 9th back-to-back game.
What was that board you did on the show the other day? How many did they have this year? 17?
16.
The most in the NHL.
Yeah, I think Carolina as well at 16.
Meanwhile, and some teams at 8, 9, 10.
Winnipeg.
But
you can't say that because they're out west and they travel like 10 times more than most other teams. So I guess we're not allowed to mention that.
Okay, but other teams were still at 10, 11, 12, and not 16 back-to-backs.
Would you like me to read some of the Toronto Maple Leafs? I was texted this today.
Yes,
so
please.
I would read something to you. Nine back-to-backs so far, mostly NHL, like you mentioned. They've played more than the Winnipeg has all year and will play all year. Faced a rested home team 4 times and rested an arrested team 7 of 9 back-to-backs. 500 record, 4-4-1 in the second half of back-to-backs. 6-6-1 percentage in non-back-to-backs, 18-9-1. Back-to-back the last 5 weekends.
Yeah, and again this weekend. And just to add to Sam's point, SportLogic did some data for me. The Leafs, from now on, because of what he's talking about, have the 6th easiest remaining schedule. So they hopefully will have some opportunities to make up some of the abuse they took in the first half of the year.
And what is it? Amazon and Four Nations Faceoff related, why they've played this insane schedule? Like, why have they played such an insane schedule? Is it Four Nations?
Well, it's Four Nations and Amazon. I told you guys.
They want those Monday nights. So all of a sudden that changes.
Not only do they want the Leafs the most, which they got on Monday nights,
they paid for it.
But they made it clear they don't want to compete against the Leafs playing that night.
Right.
So Mondays are basically off limits to alleviate any type of scheduling issues.
So they either get them or it's a day of the week the Leafs can't play.
Can you imagine that? Like, so Monday night, which is tonight?
Yeah.
I'm lost.
It is tonight.
So it's Winnipeg and Nashville.
Yeah.
And listen, Winnipeg's
first place team.
First place team. big names, star names, like they deserve the platform.
Yeah. Mm.
But Amazon sitting there going, hey, first place or last place doesn't matter. We don't want the Leafs playing against Winnipeg.
Mm-hmm.
So cram it somewhere else, which they did.
So that it does jam up the schedule a bit. Is what it is, you know? You play the cards you're dealt.
You mentioned it. The fifth easiest, meaning that they'll play next weekend as well. They'll be Boston's in town next Saturday or this Saturday. And then Sunday, they fly off immediately to play Philadelphia. After that, do we know the next back-to-back?
It's just one in January.
It's going to alleviate a little bit here.
Alleviates a bit. And like this week, for example, you get the Islanders twice and Flyers once. Like even the Bruins aren't
that so great. There are no more back-to-backs in January.
Okay.
So that's good.
But it is literally every day or every other day. Like they have a crazy just like every other day, which if you're doing a radio show, hypothetically, that might be great.
So Washington, for an example, while the Leafs were in Detroit battling it out, and we also did that hockey game, they got to practice in Washington that afternoon, jump on a plane, be in Toronto before dinner, have a nice dinner, sit back, watch the Leafs go against
Scout
Detroit.
There,
watch them all limp to the bench.
Every player in that game got hurt.
Yeah.
Like their whole decor.
Half a dozen. Easy. And then Lawrence went down and I'm like, that didn't look good. He played Saturday night, of course.
Got his helmet stuck in the glass in warm up on Saturday night.
How does that happen?
I've never seen that before.
They literally had Domi cut it with scissors to get it out of there.
It's crazy.
So they're watching all of that and they're like,
all right, let's go.
We're going to pick apart Saturday night, but it has to be a big part of just...
Didn't help.
Thank you.
Didn't help.
Those are the words I'm looking for.
And you know what, Kip? I thought they played pretty well, given all of what you're talking about. I thought, in fact, and maybe this is the first place we go, if Anthony Stolarz is in net and not Matt Murray, that might be like any other game where they hang around, the score's a lot closer, maybe they come out on top. I thought they were hurt by bad goaltending.
That's the first game I can sit there and say that, to your point, if they get Stolarz from 3 weeks ago, a month ago, they find a way to win that hockey game.
Like the Mangiapane shot is dead in the middle of a pad and he kind of slides out of the way of it. And then the Chychrun one is, it's a good shot, but Stolarz is 6'6" and he's there.
And Murray was there too, and he just whiffed on Chychrun's goal.
So if you're this much quicker and this much bigger, I mean, you're catching a piece.
Yeah. I don't know where you guys are at on the Hildeby versus Matt Murray in the quite a sad backup battle here. But I've seen, a couple Matt Murray games here. I think I'd like to go back to the well on seeing Hildeby again here.
Yeah.
I think I've seen enough from the two games that he's played in here where I'm like, you know what? Maybe try Hildeby now.
To me, you keep saying, what are you taking? Yeah. You play. Why don't you show us it's yours?
So just on that, Matt Murray has been assigned back to the Marlies.
Mm-hmm.
And Hildeby has been recalled.
But
so,
I'm not sure if that's the cap thing that they did before.
Their cap, it's very comparable.
No, but like
$30,000 difference.
Yeah. But it's not about that. It's about, remember him clearing waivers? Like if he spends a certain amount of time on
that's
the roster
and he
has to go back down, that it's he doesn't have to clear waivers at a certain point. So I don't know if it's that or they're actually going to start Hildeby in the second half of the back.
If they called him up tomorrow and on the bench instead of
I don't think that's happening.
What's the point, right?
I think based on what we saw last night, they're looking at Matt Murray going, this guy just needs to play.
Yeah.
And he needs to play down there.
Yeah.
He's not up here, okay? Your timing's off. You've been away for a long time. Go get some reps.
Nothing will help him become a better goalie and find his old form like playing. He just needs to be in the net as much as possible.
Yeah.
So be it.
And clearly, you're shaping up for Joseph Woll against the Islanders.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. So
like,
Tuesday,
there's no
Thursday,
excuse to go to a backup goalie tomorrow. Or Thursday?
No, because particularly if you do it Thursday, then you've still got a back-to-back where you're probably giving one to a backup, and now you're just giving a lot of backup games away.
That's coming. So it's better Hildeby at this point than Matt Murray against Boston or Philadelphia next weekend.
Yeah. Yeah, you probably won't see a backup till Murray probably plays on Saturday or Hildeby, whichever. But the point is, You're going to see Wohl get a playoff-like schedule here for the next couple weeks until Stolarz is back. Probably three games per week.
All right. For his thoughts on our first Kippers Clipper and first of last in 2024, let's go to Craig Berube.
All righty.
Clip six.
No, for sure. But it's about results too, right? And it's about how they play and things like that. So we're going to look at all that. But yes, our schedule is more, you know, easier to, you know, get one guy running here a little bit. So that's, you know, we'll go. We'll just listen. I'm just focused on tomorrow's game. That's it. I'm not going beyond that game. I'm going to focus on that game only, and then I'll worry about the next one.
So
Berube has a cold, huh?
Yeah. Join the rest of the world.
Yeah, no kidding.
There's no worry about, you know, like I mentioned this before when we were talking about after Stolarz got hurt and they were pushing Wohl. I know that they are in a pretty good spot here in the division considering the Panthers just lost the Habs somehow. Anyways, I know they want to win the division, but is it worth, you know, having subpar goaltending here to take it a little bit easy with Joe Wohl as opposed to pushing him in a real starter's role? Mm-hmm.
So first,
because if you lose him, then you're hooped.
Yeah. The first thing I want to note out of that clip, though, is just that he said it's about results, too.
Yeah.
So this isn't just about, you know, management or waivers or whatever. It is something to do with Murray's performance the other night. So that's one note. The other thing is, I think to your point of earlier about Stolarz and let's see if he can do it, I think you're in a bit of that point with Wohl, too, where I think you see if he can do it and play a lot because it should give him confidence, you know, that he can do it. If he gets through some of these stretches playing a lot of hockey, get to playoffs, okay, you've done it before, and if you can't, you need to know that too.
Yeah.
So I think he gathers some good information here.
Again, without the pressure of back-to-back games, you're in a better position to go to Wohl a lot more in January. Mm-hmm. And we know that Stolarz isn't coming back anytime soon here.
No updates on that, eh?
Well, he's a couple weeks. He's not probably skating.
Yeah.
Right? So
at least a couple weeks.
He's already been out 10 days, 2 weeks.
Sounds right.
So I would think he probably is still a month away from playing his first game.
Do you think so?
Well, if he starts skating next week,
right.
Do you want to, like, how quickly you want to throw him back in?
Well, I don't know. You're right.
But it's like my point is it's really kind of shaping up for Joseph Wohl to have the majority of the starts, I believe, in January. But a lot will dictate on as early as the next two games on how, like, if he gets on a roll, you're gonna say, hey, run with it a little bit here. As long as there's no back-to-backs.
And you've seen Stolarz do it when Wohl was out. You're seeing Marner do it when Matthews is out. Like, if you want to be a big name, you got to step up when the other guy's out.
Like, if he struggles, they lose the next two games and he struggles, then you got a lot more of a concerning issue on going to Hildeby or maybe calling Matt Murray back up. I don't know. But until that happens, you got to your point, hey, it's not like you've been overtaxed. You didn't start the season. You were hurt. Like, if you get on a roll here, let's run with it a little bit.
Yeah, and he's 24 or 25, whatever he is. One thing I do want to do is kind of update where they are in the division. Right now, they're tied with Florida. Florida has played 37 games, and so have the Leafs. They both have 22 wins, 13 losses, two OT losses for 46 points. They're both a plus 10 goal differential. Dead tie.
It's like when you win, they win. When you lose, they lose.
They've just been mirroring each other. The one difference, well, there's two differences. Florida has 11 more goals for and 11 fewer goals, and 11 more goals against. So the Leafs are better defensively, not as good offensively so far this year. Oh, and the Leafs have one extra regulation win. So were they tied today, they would get the playoff spot.
If we are going to stay on the standings just for a split second, and I think there's a few teams in the East that can thank the New York Rangers for nosediving.
Last.
Right?
Dead last. Dead last.
But Ottawa's taking advantage of it.
Mm-hmm.
And if they claim to win their game in hand that they have on both Florida and Toronto, they're 4 points out.
Yeah, you're not wrong.
Four
points out of first in the division. The reality is, I mentioned the Leafs are tied for first in their division. They have a .622 winning percentage, which would be fourth in the Metro. It would be fourth in the Pacific and third in the Central. So the top of the Atlantic is soft. The bottom soft. It's a soft division.
Well,
I know, but there's four legitimately good teams between Toronto, Tampa, Florida, and Boston. Tampa is actually red hot.
Yeah. And they're a team that has they've got plus 37 goal differential this year.
Best, yeah.
7-3 in their last game.
They're sniffing right behind.
Who also just lost to the Habs.
Really weird.
Yeah.
Both Florida teams lost to the Habs. Anyways.
Head coach Craig Berube mentioned on his clip there, he doesn't want to look any further than the New York Islanders. Let's get his thoughts on facing Patrick Waugh's New York Islander team.
Clip 5.
Well, we know what they are, and, you know, they've been a certain way for quite some time as a team, their identity of how they play, and, you know, they're a patient team. They don't give you a ton. You know, you got to earn your chances, and then, you know, it's important for us not to get impatient. And, you know, we got to stay with it, and it could be a real tight game. So we just got to stay with it. I think that... at times throughout the, you know, just going in the past, and I wasn't here, but I looked into it a little bit. It's just getting impatient at times and not committing to staying patient and, you know, take what they give you. That's it. And we got to do a good job of that. I thought last time we played them here, we just opened it up too much, and they capitalized on the chances. And I think more than anything, that's the biggest key tomorrow.
And, of course, he's speaking of a very convincing 6-3 win last time they were here. Like, this is – I haven't watched a ton of Islanders. You've watched way more than me. Mm-hmm. But Horvat was going. Barzal was going. Sorokin.
They're better than the record.
Like, that if that wasn't one of their better, more complete games, then I don't know what is. Yeah.
How about the game you went to, Borny?
Guys,
complete game?
I went to the worst performance by a hockey team in the NHL this year. I was on Long Island to watch Islanders, Sabres. Buffalo had lost 13 straight on Long Island, and they beat them 7-1.
Oh, my God.
So how do you go from looking so good against the Toronto Maple Leafs to 2 days later losing to Buffalo 7-1?
Pretty remarkable.
Was that the same team?
They looked old and slow and disengaged. It was pathetic. I mean, unhappy fans are there, you know, packed building for Christmas. Everyone's in great mood. Just an abomination. But the point is they have been unhealthy. They're getting healthier. They have a good goalie. Some good D-men haven't been very good this year. They can be okay. So the Islanders will be no pushover. But Berube's right. They are what they are. They're going to play in straight lines, you know.
I find it so funny him being like, oh, I wasn't here, but, you know, I kind of looked at it and dug it. Like the Leafs narrative wasn't the most talked about thing for the last 8 years.
Like,
I didn't come across it, but I think it's funny that, because I think over the last little bit, they've definitely looked a little bit more like years past than they have to start this season.
Problematic version of themselves.
Well, I mean, like the odd man rush stuff. I mean, to start the year, Kipper, how many times did you say they haven't given up an odd man rush? They haven't done this. They haven't, like, and it's just, it's totally flipped now.
It's flipped.
The underlying numbers are bad lately.
Yeah.
For a while, though.
Yeah, and for a while.
For
December.
Like, we may have to go back to Stolar's stealing one in New Jersey back.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. No, and so there was the thought that, like, okay, Matthews will get healthy and he'll get back and the underlying numbers will improve and they'll start to progress in this, because they were really hurt for a long time. And then they got healthy, and it hasn't been better.
All right, so let's go to Austin Matthews, because that's continually a hot story.
Yeah.
He's skating. He practiced with the team today. He was included in a lot of things, but he will not play tomorrow afternoon. Does that set him up for as early as Thursday in Long Island, or do they wait on the weekend against the Boston Bruins? But let's go to Craig Berube for an update on Austin Matthews.
Tomorrow he will not play. You know, but, you know, he did a good job in practice today, I thought, and I think he feels pretty good. So we'll just go from there. That's all I got for you on that.
I really got for you is please, please, please.
Ask me another one. Don't ask me another question about this.
Not to do the Don Cherry thing, but, like, we could play the tape on that. Like, we called that during the game. We said he wouldn't play. We were doing the Sabres game, right? And we said, you're not going to see him next game. Like, it was during the game we made that call.
Laboring.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And even before that, we said,
don't play him.
Don't play him. He doesn't look any better than he did before. And then, sure enough, we're right back here. Not like they didn't notice either, but it was visible is the point. The point is it was not like this, he got a random injury. It's like he looked kind of bad for a few games leading up to stepping.
Well, he never
looked better.
Looked better.
Like never refound
it. From his return, I mean, was it the Nashville game he came back in or the game at where he had the two goals when they reunited him with Marner and he had the amazing goal where he did the toe drag and at that moment. But outside of that, there weren't many Matthews. But he produced. He's really good. He can score in the power play. That's what he does.
Yeah.
But I don't know. Like, we talked about this the last show, I guess a week ago today, right? Monday? Yeah. That my concern level on this, Kipper asked what it was. Gordo said, what did he say, 7? I just said 10.
Yeah.
Like, I just went for it.
He just maxed the scale.
I went for it. Yeah, I turned it up, baby.
Right up there with, like, a cut artery or something. Max fear.
It's not getting better. Yeah. And
I could start by saying, hey, Sam, on a scale of 1 to 10, and he just yell out 10. You wouldn't even listen to the question. You just go 10.
Your offer on. He's a light switch. He's not a dial.
I go to 10, and then I'll work my way back.
That's right.
No, I'll talk myself out of 10.
But I think there is, it's, you know, a 10 is a reasonable fear here.
No, it's not.
It's not.
10, what, Sam, 10 is like.
No, but.
Okay.
His level of concern is legit because it's not like it's definitive knee sprain.
No, we should be very concerned.
2 to 4 weeks or 4 to 6 weeks.
We didn't see him get hit by a bus. He didn't get run over by the Zamboni. Nothing,
which lends to the feeling of, and unconfirmed, that he may have some sort of back issue.
Polio? What's going on right now? Yeah. This is honestly, it's so vague that it is tough to talk about. So it's like, I don't. You're
discomfort.
Right.
The only thing they've ever reported on him in his career was the wrist, right?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I think.
Discomfort. He's not feeling great, you know? I mean, what else? What conclusion would you come up with?
He's got to have a slip disc or a hernia or
I don't
something.
Think, yeah. There doesn't seem to be that sense of panic.
And I just don't know how you can't be at an 8 or a 9.
Sure.
You're a guy that is the focal point of your offense, a guy that's almost a 70-goal scorer, gets hurt in preseason, misses preseason games, doesn't look the same, leaves, disappears, literally flies intercontinentally to Germany to get a world-renowned doctor to look at his back, comes back, plays, looks exactly the same as he did at the start of the year, takes a shot in the lower back, and then is gone again, and now we're doing the same dance. Yeah. I don't know how it's not at a 10.
Yeah, I mean, it's a real
It's a 10 problem. If he comes back and he looks the same way.
Well how's he not going to look the same way?
I don't know.
Like, are you really feeling like, oh, another week off, no, and he's back to 2021 Matthews?
I guess we're arguing about semantics. Like a 10 is like he's not going to come back. To me, it's like, you're going to see him again. He didn't die.
It's just, are you going to see that real man strength that he has?
Yeah, tough to imagine that he just finds it again. The bigger thing is that he seems tentative because of the discomfort. So what you're going to get is who's a great shooter who otherwise isn't that effective? Cole Caulfield? Someone like that. You're going to get a good player back, but you're not going to get a Hart Trophy winner.
And I think it's affected his quickness, too.
Oh, definitely has.
Oh, yeah.
It definitely has.
So you're not even getting Cole Caulfield.
Victor Olofsson, who you get?
So, I don't know. I think he's going to play. He's going to come back at some point here.
Yeah.
But
I'm concerned, too. I am concerned for no other reason that it's, if it's something that's right out of training camp, we are talking now 3 months.
Yeah. And so, are we talking about the golden opportunity?
Yes.
The golden opportunity. Can they be the Mark Stone team, the Kucherov team, the Patrick Kane team? Can they do it?
Wow. It'd be the last year for it. Because if the Leafs did it, that loophole.
Oh, yeah.
Wha-bam! Slam shut.
But
Gary's goons are kicking down the door.
You can even play them till March. You could play them up till the Four Nations face-off and then say, we tried. It's just... So you don't want them to not play for 4 months. You play them the next few weeks. But are you trying to win a cup or are you trying to win the Integrity Award?
I just don't think that they're in a position where they...
Know enough.
Well...
Sorry to cut you off.
No, it's fine. We're not even at the halfway point. Mm-hmm. You're you're really talking about shutting this guy down to like
Do
April?
You think that's that crazy to consider?
Today I do.
I don't think it's time
today,
yet.
Right now,
no, I don't
yes.
either.
Like you have to go through.
But it's on the radar.
Well, I think it's a legit conversation. If we get to that point, what do we do? And if you want to explore a conversation, if he does shut down and we take one last chance of mm-hmm. bringing him back in April, then let's have a conversation mm-hmm. on where we would focus our challenges to trade for somebody. I'll have that conversation,
yeah, we'll
and I think we're going to have one right now.
impromptu, but, true or false? The Leafs have talked about this internally.
You'd be crazy
chat.
If you didn't.
Got a chat.
So true.
You're not covering all your angles. You're not doing your job.
Correct.
You're not doing your due diligence if you haven't had that conversation. But there's got to be multiple failed,
attempts
to return before you go down there to now sit there and contemplate shutting him down now or the next week or two is, I think, nutso.
So there is.
Well, I agree with that.
So what is the Four Nations break? It's like the 8th to the 22nd. I think they play on the 8th, and I think they play on the 22nd.
What do you guys want to talk about during that time?
Oh God, Latvia. But so they don't play for those 2 weeks. From the 22nd to March 7th, I believe, is the lead up to trade deadline. You're going to have 2 week pocket in there to see him play and assess. Even if, to me, if he stays healthy over that 2 week, but he looks like he's looked, you'd say, what if we give him 6 weeks here to get to postseason? What if we just give him that rest? 5 weeks, 6 weeks, and spend his money and go get JT Miller from Vancouver, who plays center for us if we need, wing if we want, has a little feist, a little playoff. Guys, I'm just throwing stuff around here.
I think they have a truly, truly generational chance here with the way that it's looked. They've never done anything like this in this generation of Leafs hockey, and the way he's looked, it's so easy to be like, we're shutting him down. You've already got the alibi of him going to Germany.
This is such a podcast conversation.
But it's true, though. You literally have an alibi. He went to Germany to get this looked at. It is. It's what it is. Like when Gary comes knocking on the door, be like, buddy, he was in Germany. I don't know.
We're just throwing things around.
No, I think it's, if you're not Brad Treliving, if you're not Brendan Shanahan, you're not doing your job. If you're not having alternative possibilities.
Time goes fast, really, really fast. It's January in a moment here, mm-hmm. and it's like 100 days till playoffs.
Yeah.
Not that far away.
So the general feeling is that they're not looking at that type of move right now. So you're looking for
a
lesser kind of depth centerman. Yannick Gord's name comes up a lot mm-hmm. out of Seattle.
I love him, but I don't know if he's still effective.
Well, and the price won't be that bad mm-hmm. compared to what you were talking about moments ago with JT Miller.
Yeah.
So does Austin now change that?
Yeah. The Gord thing's interesting specifically because of Holmberg and Kampf at 2C for them. Like, Gord can at least do that and chip in some offense, but... Yeah, that would definitely change the math about who you're talking about
and
who you'd have to spend.
So let's say, to Sam's point, that they go out there and they get their $8 or $9 million player in JT Miller or Kadri, right?
Yeah,
you're going to talk about next year.
What does that do moving forward here? John Tavares slide into easy. So if you had, in Sammy's perfect world next year, Austin, JT Miller, and Tavares, and does Tavares come in at $3 million? Not $7 million.
Yeah. Yeah. No, it's the only way you keep Tavares, right? You can't, he's either the centerman for the, I don't know, Ottawa Senators or something next year.
Nashville, probably.
Yeah. But yeah. I think he really loves Ontario and his family. But if you did something like that, it certainly hurts his chances and leverage, in which case he probably makes less money and still stays. He seems to really like it here.
I'm not sure there's a even if he stays for less money, there's a place for him because...
Yeah, if you give Mitch 13 or whatever the number ends up being, and then you got to give Tavares, and now you've added Miller, you're right. You're handcuffed.
I'm not even thinking about necessarily numbers compared to, like, at what point you say, I got a young player in Minton that needs to find a third line role.
Sure.
So if I commit to John Tavares as a third line centerman, is Minton now my fourth line guy for the next 2 years or 3 years? Because John will want a 2 or 3 year deal. He doesn't want to sign a 1 year deal.
Yeah. You're probably better off with a young guy.
So many of those dynamics come into play here on whether you go plan A or plan B on what type of big name guy you want and the price tag it'll command.
You know, I love that Minton is in the American League right now. And I've said this before. I think it's so good. You know, right now he's been back for 5 games. He's got like an empty netter and otherwise is pointless. Maybe he has 2 points. But it's not about points for him. He's just getting some reps down there. And at times I've been like, should they call this guy back up? Like Holmberg ain't doing it, whatever. He needs some time. Minton still needs time to be an everyday NHL guy.
Okay.
I do like Yanni Gourde, though.
Yeah, I need scrappy, competitive.
Good playoff guy.
Yeah.
Like that, if they're not going to go out there and do the big enchilada, that's a guy that I really do like the idea of.
I think Leafs fans would love him.
Okay, we'll take a quick break. And when we come back, we got Luke Fox, Leaf NHL writer for Sportsnet.ca. We'll get into Matthew's return, the workload on Joseph Woll, and perhaps even a John Tavares contract and what that could look like.
Mm-hmm.
That and more when we return to Real Kipper and Bourne.
Big opinions and in-depth conversations covering the Leafs, Jays, Raptors, and the NFL. The J.D. Bunkus Podcast. Subscribe and download the show on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Sammy McKee closing out 2024. Got Luke Fox. What?
I ran into a Greek guy named Nick at the O'Connor Meat Market. He says, say hello, and he loves the show.
Were you driving at the time?
No.
Okay, good. All right.
I spent some time in Golf Town, too, after the holidays.
Oh, shocker.
More Greeks there.
And the place... For people who listen to our show, it's like a bunch of middle-aged white dudes. It's the sweet spot.
I have been recognized at Golf Town.
So thanks for all the listeners. It's encouraging.
It is, for sure. All right. Is he out there, Luke Fox, or is he still opening up gifts?
Oh, there he is.
Yeah.
There he is.
Santa good to you, Luke?
My biggest thing was Golf Town gift certificate.
There you go.
I'm not just saying that to make for a smooth segue, but it's actually
that
true.
Should get us all a certificate from Golf Town, shouldn't it?
A sponsorship, maybe. That would be nice.
My putter's like 30 years old, and I haven't ever hit it well once, so I don't know why I'm holding on to it. So
the new one, though.
I got to go there and get a new one.
Yeah, absolutely.
All right, I take it you've caught up to the Leafs post-Christmas, and the feeling is that, you know, outside of maybe some inconsistencies in their game, is the feeling of Austin Matthews coming back any different from the 9 games he took off? Is there more concern, less concern? What's the overall feeling from your end?
For my end, I'd say there's more concern just because I don't think he ever quite looked right when he came back the first time after missing 11 games and going over to Munich and getting some special treatment. It's interesting because when he went away, Brad Treliving said, we want to nip this in the bud. We're taking this prolonged break so that when he comes back 100%. And I don't know what you guys are seeing, but I don't know if there was one game where he looked totally back or totally 100%. This is a nagging thing. And he's not going to play again tomorrow in the matinee against the Islanders. So that'll be another 5 games. I understand, like, you know, we're late December. The playoffs are a long ways away. It's smart to exercise caution. You don't want to rush him back. But the questions are now at least circulating in our minds. Is this guy going to participate in the Four Nations tournament? Should he? Is this going to be nagging all the way to the playoffs? Is it going to hinder him there? So, you know, they're being cautious. He was back at practice today, but left a little bit early. They're going to ease him back in here at some point, and you just hope that whatever is ailing him is something he can manage, and at the very least, you hope he's ready to go in April.
Yeah, we chewed that around a little bit before the break, and it is a top of the list of concerns for the Leafs. So one of the encouraging things about this Leafs team, I think, is that there's so much potential when they're healthy. When they have all their guys and it's put together, you can see a really strong team here. One of the concerns also with that is Matthew Knies, who had his concussion, missed some hockey, came back, and hasn't been the same version of himself since. Wanted to get your thoughts on his play the last couple weeks, and if you see anything that's visibly changed, because he's not producing at the level he was before the injury.
Yeah, it's not. I don't think it's just the numbers. I don't think it's just the production. He looks a little bit more hesitant, and maybe that's because he's still feeling some pain. We don't know. Mm-hmm. Or maybe, you know, you get rocked like that, and you lose a little bit of your edge. I mean, he's bounced back from this before, right? Sam Bennett gave him a concussion when he was brand new to the league in the playoff series against the Lightning. And, you know, he managed to come back a better version of himself eventually, but he hasn't found his game. Part of that might be he's been bouncing around, you know, different line mates, different centermen. So there might be an element of that, but he's on the top power play. He's getting plenty of opportunity. Craig Berube used an interesting word today, speaking to reporters after practice. He wanted him to be a bit more reckless. And he's like, I don't want him out there taking penalties, but I want him going to the net. I want him finishing his checks. I think that hasn't been there as fiercely as it was early in the season. And again, it's fine. You know, it's 82 games. We saw him go through a lull last season, and he picked it up as playoffs began. I think it's okay if there's a lull in his game, but he has to pick it up, and he has to start peaking again at the right time.
Mm-hmm. It's hard to imagine, again, to bring this back, without the veteran presence right now of Tavares and Pacioretty right now, because, you know, for PTO, man, this guy is now sitting on the number one line with Tavares and Marner, and he's needed, really needed on this hockey club.
Oh, absolutely he's needed. And it's kind of funny, right? Like, at training camp, we were debating, like, should he be taking a spot from a young guy? Does he even deserve, is his NHL career in jeopardy? Is it over? And now you don't want them dressing a lineup without him. He's become an integral part of the top six. And I just love how physical he is. Every single night you watch this guy, Pacioretty's finishing a check on some guy where you're turning to the reporter next to you, like, did you see that? Mm-hmm. Like, he's got a viciousness to him, and good on him. The thing with Pacioretty, though, after they came back from the Christmas break, no one was more effusive in how much he needed those days off than Pacioretty. And I think, A, it's age. B, it's he's all of a sudden playing a heavier game than he's probably ever played in his life. And you throw in the Leafs have more back-to-backs than anybody, and it's taking a toll on the guy. So they're leaning on him a lot right now. And good on him. He's responded and he's played pretty well. He's found chemistry with Tavares in particular. But you don't want to lean on him for the whole rest of the second half of the season, because I don't know if he'll have anything left when it matters.
Yeah, that's a fair point. So I want to talk a little bit about defense, because we didn't get to it in the first half. Fun stat today from Anthony Petrilli. If the Leafs D don't score tomorrow, they will have gone the entire month of December without scoring a goal. In the month of December, they got 0 points from a defenseman on the power play. So what do they do about the lack of scoring from the back end compared to other good contending teams? It's a place where they really lack punch.
Oh, absolutely. And the irony is Oliver Ekman-Larsson was signed in part because Brad Tre Living and the front office realized that they wanted more production from the back end. And I think he's been solid, but he's dipped a little bit, but he hasn't really been piling up the points. Morgan Rielly started off pumping a few goals in, but he's kind of gone cold offensively. So the last game against the Capitals, Rielly blasted a one-timer from the point, and it took me off guard because I couldn't remember the last time he actually did that, even to keep the defense honest. They just don't shoot that much from the point, and they don't have the guys with the big bomb. But it is a problem. I think they have 7 goals total from the defensemen in their lineup right now, and you got guys out there, individual defensemen on teams with more than that. So it's a bit of an issue. They'll say they don't care who gets the goals as long as they come from somewhere. But this is a team that, you know, if you're missing guys in your top six especially, you want that offense to come from somewhere. There needs to be more from the back end. How much of that is guys wanting to play Brube's safer system where they pinch less than they did under Keefe's system? But I think there's a healthy balance to find there, and they do need a bit more punch from guys like Riley and Ekman-Larsson in particular. Timmins, too. Like, that's one of his strong suits, and he's not really producing a ton either.
Right.
We're talking to Luke Fox, Leaf and NHL writer for Sportsnet.ca. Luke, it's almost as if for me right now the offense would still be a bonus with this blue line, but they are not, and Craig Berube touched on this about a week and a half ago, 2 weeks ago, they're not getting clean looks and breakouts anymore. Like, at times it's unlike anything we saw in the first month and a half of the season, and Saturday night was one of those rare examples where the goaltending couldn't kind of fix a mistake when it did break down. What are you seeing out of their own zone that we didn't necessarily see for a month and a half?
Well, you hit the nail on the head, Nick. Like, that cost them that Capitals game. It started with the first one. Dewar, just a brutal, you know, exit pass, you know, on the wrong side of his own blue line. Odd man rush the other way. Bang, it's in your net. The other one, they had possession and they just couldn't get it clear. I don't know if it's the condensed schedule is taking a toll on them and they're getting a little bit of tired brain or something, but they've lost their details. And Brube's been harping on that. He's been harping on good sticks. He's been harping on clean exits, you know, getting through the neutral zone, harder forecheck. And it seems to me at both ends of the ice, they're not exiting as quickly as they were early in the season when they had fresh legs and had some jump. Maybe they were more inspired to impress the new coach and try to earn more ice time. And on the other end, I think their forecheck has gotten a little bit, I don't want to say lazier, but it's certainly not as effective. Going back to the Nyes conversation, that's an area where he needs to work at. And maybe it's just how overwhelming and demanding this style of play is. You know, they're kind of trying to have a more Florida Panther-like style of play. And I remember going into the Panthers room during their run, and some of the guys, like Sam Reinhart, said, it's an exhausting style of hockey to play for 82 games. We know we need to do it because that's going to give us playoff success, but it's hard to do it every night. A lot of the games that the Leafs have lost is because they've lost some of those details. They've lost some of the pace to their game, John Tavares was pointing out. So it's a tough one. And maybe in the back of their minds, they feel like they can turn this on later when it matters more. Right now, they're still amongst the leaders in the Atlantic. There isn't a sense of urgency.
Yeah, it does feel like this is like one of the first years. They're one of those teams that you're like, God, when they grind and they hit, they're going to be really tough to beat. But you just can't do it every single night. We can't do it well. So, you know, maybe that's one of the reasons why I feel better about not seeing them with a 700 winning percentage that they're kind of doing, you know, skimming along at 622. So with the way they're constructed right now, Kampf is subbed in for Holmberg on that second line. And the reason they're doing that is because they love the third line right now. Robertson kind of coming around. Bobby McMahon has been awesome. Domi's coming. So this is some encouraging signs, I think, for the Leafs that those three players seem to have found it a bit.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, Domi had a really rough first month and a half, 2 months of the season. Like, injury aside, you could just tell that he had lost confidence. Even in games where he doesn't get a point, he has jump again. He looks noticeable. He looks like he's flying out there and feeling good. And him and McMahon have really found something. I think Robertson a bit less so, but he's you know, getting on the scoreboard as well. But McMahon, for me, has been a wonderful story. And remember, guys, this was a healthy scratch in the season opener in Montreal. I remember sitting up in the Bell Center and looking across. There's Bobby McMahon in a suit, like, not a little bit sour for sure. You know, he signed a nice new contract extension, biggest one of his life, and he can't get in the opening night lineup. But now, you know, this guy is a force. And his speed, the Leafs don't have a lot of fast guys. Bobby McMahon's speed works really well with Domi's vision. So I understand Berube not breaking up. I'm sure Nylander's like, I need Domi. I can't play with Kamp or Holmberg. But, you know, you do have a good thing with that third line. I'm fine with them keeping it together as long as they're running hot.
One more for me, Luke, and we'll let you go. And that is the goaltending. A month ago, we were like talking about the Leaf goaltending being as good as we've seen like in 20 years, 25 years. Everything was humming. Sammy looked every day like he gave birth. Okay? Now, it's...
I don't know.
Proud. Proud.
What?
Just proud. Oh, tired. Proud. Like, okay. Like he just gave birth, Sam. Like you're a very proud mama. Okay? Now, it's come down to earth a little bit. Stolarz is out. Murray didn't have a very good game and got sent down, probably to get more games in the American Hockey League. And now you got Joseph Woll. It's not a back-to-back scenario. I'm sure the Leafs are hoping that he plays both games. But how critical are these next two games for Joseph Woll and where the goaltending goes from here on in? Fork in the road a little bit for maybe the Leaf goaltending this week?
Yeah, and Joseph Woll should see this as an opportunity. Because Anthony Stolarz isn't coming back for a few more weeks still. Like, he's got to grab this thing. When Matt Murray goes in the net, I think the Leafs got to score 4 minimum. Like, I don't have faith in him. And I'm sure they see it too, right? Like, after the game, Brube's like, I'm sure he'd like a couple back. Mm-hmm. Well, you can't give up 2 bad ones that you want back every night. So this is Joseph Woll's chance, right? The team has invested in him. He's got this window of opportunity to really take the net and run with it. The question has always been about, can he handle a heavy workload? He hasn't done it yet. January is the perfect month. You know, if he plays well, then they don't have to rush Stolarz back before the Four Nations. Just, you don't have a ton of back-to-backs. I think there's only 1 in January. Just Joseph Woll, take it and run with it. The Leafs used to have the best team save percentage in the East. They've fallen in that regard since Stolarz went down. And some of that, most of that is probably Murray, but some of it is on Woll. He's been okay. He hasn't been stellar. He has another level to get to. He's got, you know, the Islanders who aren't, you know, offensive juggernaut by any means. This is a good first step for him to get on the right track.
Luke, really appreciate it. Go back to playing with your gifts, I think, right?
Okay.
Yeah.
I got another Christmas dinner at my mother-in-law's.
Oh, man. All right. Keep it going.
Okay.
All appreciate right, your Luke. Time Thanks, as man. Always, man. Thanks for doing this. Luke Fox, okay. Sportsnet.ca.
Take care.
All right, proud mama.
What?
Where are you with the goaltending right now?
It sucks. I mean, I love watching Stolarz.
Doesn't take long, eh?
Well, he was happy a month ago.
I remember that.
Stolarz is so good. Like, he was just so, so good and so fun to watch and such a great, exciting style and just good.
Yeah.
He was good.
Star. Like, a star. He was a total star goalie. And he's disappeared. And I think you're seeing a bit of the workload weigh on Woll. I don't think he's been bad by any stretch, but he definitely hasn't been excellent, kind of like Luke said. And then Matt Murray, I haven't enjoyed it through 2.
I haven't enjoyed it.
I don't think a lot of Leaf fans have.
The margins are so thin. But, like, you know, when you've been down and out and you're working your way back, a couple of bad goals, that's enough for the next guy to get a chance.
Yeah, like, I think those 2 games that I've seen from Murray, like I said earlier in our Leafs Hour, I think it's time to try Hill to be again in the next
team
back-to-back.
Save percentage. The Leafs 7th in the NHL right now, so still pretty good.
That is a kind of a mind blowing stat that the Leafs haven't got a goal from one defenseman all month.
I know. I mean, I know I've seen some of the stuff that you're working on for the broadcast tomorrow, but some of that Riley, you've got some question marks about.
I do believe that the first guy that knows that stat is Morgan Riley.
Yeah.
And there's such a fine line between coming to the rink and doing what the coach asks you to do and play safe and don't take any chances. But, like, they need to generate offense, and that is Morgan's job.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you look at the other guys in the decor. He is the guy that is supposed to do it.
He's gotta find something here to kind of get it going.
Yeah, you know, there can be a little bit of an offensive guy in every pair, the OEL or Timmins or Riley. It's almost like you need different rules for those guys where you say, you know, you can leave the blue line, go in, circle in the offensive zone.
Well, they got one of those. His name's Willie Nylander.
Yeah.
Different rules.
He only left twice.
But his
Freddie, that's a conversation for another day, by the way.
His power play different rules are crazy.
Crazy.
He hasn't scored a goal in that second power play unit. Then they're just like, stay. We don't know.
Just let him do it.
Yeah. Anything he wants. All right. We're just getting warmed up here on our last show of the year. We go national next on The Real Kipper and Bourne Show.